Track 1, Introduction. Welcome to the Home Study Course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course deals with grief. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with grief. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct answer on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as feelings of isolation, the relationship inventory, feelings of guilt, shattering assumptions, secondary wounding, healing self-statements, physiology and mindsets of grief, the positive side of grief, the 3 Ds of grief, replacement children, success, solitude, and the web construct. So let's get started. In my practice, I have defined 2 distinct types of guilt. These 2 distinct types of guilt are unrealistic guilt and realistic guilt. As I describe these 2 types of guilt, think about how you might use the ideas with clients you are treating. The first type of guilt we will discuss is unrealistic guilt. As you know, grieving clients often blame themselves when they experience loss. See if your self-blaming client is experiencing unrealistic guilt, like Anna. Anna, age 48, had been providing medical care to her father, John, in the 6 months before his death. Anna stated, "Dad always said he didn't want to die in a hospital. So when he got cancer, I wanted to make sure he could stay at home. But I should have been with him. If I had known it was his final day, I would have taken off work. I'm such a horrible daughter. I hate myself." Though clients may genuinely feel blameworthy, usually self-blaming guilt is unrealistic. Do you agree? I stated to Anna, "Have you ever considered that you are being overly harsh with yourself? It sounds like you're stretching your imagination to believe you are responsible for anticipating or preventing events that you could not possibly have prevented. Through unrealistic guilt, Anna felt as if she had intentionally brought harm to her father. Anna identified other examples of the unrealistic guilt which she had experienced by stating, "If I had been home the day Dad died, maybe he could have pulled through. If only I had rented a more comfortable hospital bed, he would have felt more at home. Maybe if I hadn't focused on work so much, he could have died feeling loved." As you know, in the early stages of grief, arguing against unrealistic guilt is not productive. I usually feel at some point unrealistic guilt needs to be addressed. In a later session with Anna, I stated, "If you had been able to act differently, then you would have acted differently. It's not in your power to anticipate everything perfectly." By listening attentively for signals of unrealistic guilt, it was possible to help Anna recognize how she was blaming herself unnecessarily. In addition to unrealistic guilt, we will also discuss realistic guilt. Clients generally blame themselves in situations of genuine negligence. Therefore, if a client's careless behavior causes another person to suffer, the result is realistic guilt. For example, Robert, age 38, had given his son Peter a BB gun for his birthday. Robert stated, "I set up a target on the side of the garage for him to shoot at. I should have thought about a possible ricochet, but instead I just left him there to shoot on his own. Peter came in later crying, 'I've been shot!' There was a lot of blood, so I called 911. Poor Peter had actually shot his eye out. Now the kid is walking around with a glass eye. What kind of father am I?" Robert's feelings of guilt are realistic because he was responsible for Peter's accident with the BB gun. I stated to Robert, "You're right to feel guilty about the accident. However, there is no need to punish yourself. It was an accident." In Robert's situation of realistic guilt, I found that by listening to him express his feelings and reinforcing the idea that he did not intentionally harm his son, I could help him forgive himself. To help Robert, as well as Anna, who felt unrealistic guilt over her father's death, I implemented the moving beyond guilty feelings technique. The first step in this technique is to identify as many guilty feelings as possible. I asked Anna to make a list of all the if statements she could think of. As you know, if statements are part of the vocabulary of grief clients. Anna's if statements included, "If I had been home the day Dad died, maybe he could have pulled through. If only I had rented a more comfortable hospital bed, he would have felt more at home. Maybe if I hadn't focused on work so much, he could have died feeling loved." The second step is to analyze the if statements with the client for content. Some questions I asked Anna were, "Is this statement realistic or unrealistic? Could anyone else have done what you wish you had done? And do you believe the statement to be true?" Anna's answers indicated she was beginning to distrust her unrealistic guilty feelings. The third step in the moving beyond guilty feelings technique is to prompt the client to dispute any unrealistic guilt. With Anna, the second and third steps ran together as her answers to my questions were elaborate. You may find, as I did with Anna, that as the client identifies and lists guilty feelings, he or she may begin to analyze and dispute those feelings naturally. The fourth step is to ask the client to write down new feelings to replace the guilty feelings. For example, Anna wrote, "Dad was happy he did not have to die in a hospital," and "Dad knew I cared for him very much." On this track, we discussed feelings of guilt. They are unrealistic guilt and realistic guilt. On the next track, we will discuss the relationship inventory technique. The three types of relationships are pre-trauma relationships, relationships during the trauma, and post-trauma relationships. Question 1. What are two types of guilt?